Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drawing Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we want to. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcasts, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined on this cold, icy day by my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
Hey.
Hey.
I was trying to think of something I could do with that, like, it's your cold, icy coast, Austin, but I couldn't.
Stone Cold Austin.
Okay, I don't know wrestling stuff. We discussed that before.
Oh my gosh. I don't know wrestling stuff either, but that's like the only thing I know. We need Jacob. This is why we need Jacob.
I don't know if Jacob knows pro wrestling stuff.
He knows more than us, that's for damn sure.
Yeah.
So we can at least say that with a certainty.
Should we go ahead and say that we're not going to get Jacob back in the way we thought we were because of my stupidity?
All of our plans were foiled and fate's cruel hand was dealt.
Just to let y'all know, we were going to have Jacob back on for the last Johto episode in a few weeks, but I was stupid, and I wrote the dates down wrong and didn't realize I was going to be out of town that day. I think what happened was Jacob and Leslie made plans around that. They didn't say they did, but that's my speculation. And so because of that, they're completely unavailable that month, essentially. So sorry, y'all. No Jacob return for the grand finale.
Sorry, guys, if you were looking forward to that.
That we'd never mentioned before this moment.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe some people had a hope. I kind of wonder what the listeners think about our duo format.
Yeah, it's a different dynamic.
Yeah, Jacob and Leslie are busy people. They have lives, unlike us, and so they go and do stuff.
I try to have a life. I really do. It's just men.
Men? Men?
They're just, you can't count on them for shit.
Ugh, men.
There are stories that I don't tell the podcast, but ugh.
Just don't feel bad, you guys. Austin doesn't tell me half the shit he goes through either.
Well, so all the stories are like,
it's a mystery.
I wanted to make plans with someone, and they were like, no.
Okay, so first of all, so you're attracting flaky people. You gotta reframe your, like, mindset. You don't want to attract flaky people. You gotta change.
Where are these non-flaky people? Where are they at?
I don't know. There's a lot of flaky people, even outside of like dating apps and stuff. But you gotta just cut that shit out.
Men.
Oh, well, sorry. Austin.
We try not to talk shit about people on this podcast, but
we're not really talking shit about anybody specific.
No, we're not
talking shit in a general sense.
That's why I'm not telling stories, and that's why I'm not telling tales.
So what has been going on this week, aside from flaky dating app people?
Kelsey has been watching Sex and the City for the first time.
Is that what spurred your...
Yeah, so that means I have to watch Sex and the City.
Did you... Okay, was this like a self-imposed thing, or did she say, Austin, watch this with me?
She finished Gilmore Girls for like the fourth time. And was like, I gotta find something stupid on TV that I can... on streaming that I can like just like have on the background. So she's watching Sex and the City for the first time ever, and having strong opinions about it, and I don't remember all the details, so I'm having to, like, I'm ahead of where she is, so I can remember stuff.
I see.
I don't think I've seen most of the last season.
I've never seen any season at all.
I mean, it's bad. Don't get me wrong. It's bad.
I guess if you're talking about, like, 90s, would you even classify it as a sitcom, or...
It's more rom-com than anything, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I was more of, like, a Friends and Seinfeld person. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Sex and the City. It's got...
No, there's a lot
moments,
wrong with Sex and the City, actually. There's a lot. Don't say that.
I mean, okay, aside from some
problematic
stuff,
elements.
Problematic stuff. I would say it's more entertaining than some of the stuff that's out now.
Yeah, I was surprised by how into it I got rewatching. I had opinions.
God, do we want to talk about how... Did we talk about this on the last pod? I can't even remember what we talk about from week to week, but we had a little New Year's gathering. I wouldn't even call it that. It was just me, Austin, and Josh.
Playing Mario Party as Josh fell asleep on the couch.
Yeah, Josh couldn't stay awake, but we also had on MILF Manor one episode.
Oh, God. And
I don't know what possessed us to do that.
And I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, this is enough. Enough.
It was so bad. Apparently, we looked it up because we were like, what is the purpose of this? Like, what is the point? What is the format? They don't get into, like, the elimination part of the game show, quote-unquote, until episode 4.
Yeah, the episode we saw, there was no game show. Like, there was, like, one little thing. The infamous, can you tell who your son is by feeling his body?
That's disgusting.
I know, repulsive. Bad.
Bad. So bad. Guys.
But I think they were relying on the shock factor alone for that first episode. But, like, there was, like, no format to it.
No. Okay, so this is not like an advert for this or a recommendation by any means. Please do not.
We've seen one episode and that was enough.
That was beyond enough, you guys. But like, I'm just making a critique of the fact that if you have to wait 4 episodes in to get to what the fuck is happening, that's way too much. But we had fun, right? We played Mario Party. We played board games. Austin beat us all at, so that was fun.
I love being a winner.
Yeah, winner, winner,
and
chicken
you
dinner.
You hate being a loser because you're a sore loser.
I know. I am a sore loser. It's my toxic trait. Super exciting. Happy 2025, everyone.
By the time this comes out, if I actually do editing correctly, by the time this comes out, it's going to be like the last weekend of January.
Well, sure, but so everybody knows we're on a week delay, so I'm sorry if stuff isn't relevant by the time.
We're actually on a 2-week delay currently.
Oh, shit. All we can do is talk about stuff that happened, and when we catch up, we catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that Sex and the City watch goes well for you.
Oh, I have opinions about Berger.
Who the fuck is Berger?
The guy from Office Space whose name is Berger.
Berger Meister Meister Berger.
I don't know what the hell you just said.
You never watched, like, those Claymation Santa Claus?
I know Heat Meister.
Kris Kringle.
Is it Snow Miser?
Yeah. Burger Meister Meister Burger was from Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh, I did watch. I had that one on video, like a recording of it. I was just talking to Kelsey about this. What were your children's Christmas specials and movies as a kid?
Well, it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Of course.
These movies, like Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Okay, I had Santa Claus is Coming to Town, but we didn't have a recording of The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Is that with
Heat and Snow Miser? Yeah, them.
Yeah. That was also part of it.
So I was less familiar with them. Frosty.
Oh, Frosty, of course. Oh, The Snowman.
Oh, of course. Like
the silent
like the,
film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Snowman, which I love.
We did not own that, but I saw it at like school or something for some reason.
The original Grinch.
Right, animated. Right.
What else? God, I feel like I'm missing like a pivotal one or something.
Rudolph Shiny New Year.
No. What? No.
Have you ever seen that shit?
Is that some kind of
sequel
or something?
It's insane. It is so crazy.
I've never heard of that.
Oh my god, let's not even.
Can you think of any others? Because I feel like we're missing one. Or maybe those were like the big ones. I don't know.
I see, on this recording, I had a recording of the 80s Muppet Christmas special.
Which, you know, I'm not a big Muppets fan.
No, so which I'll never understand.
I watched it. I mean, it's decent now, but I just never grew up with it. So it's not in my like childhood memories.
I didn't really grow up with the Muppets at all. My experience with the Muppets was Muppet Babies was in reruns. The Muppet Christmas special I just mentioned, which is not Muppet Christmas Carol. It was a different thing. It was the one where they go to Fozzie's mom's house for the Christmas holiday.
What?
And I think Nickelodeon ran the Muppet Show at some point. I think they had like some sort of Jim Henson block or something. I don't know. Sometimes the movies would be shown on TV, on cable. Maybe that's what it was, is I had cable and you did not.
Yeah, see, I was like, you're dunking on me with this whole cable thing because I had public access TV. That was it.
Mm, that really made a difference.
Yeah, I did not have Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon or any Disney Channel or any of that stuff. So I missed out on a lot of the quote unquote like core kids television. And by the time I was old enough, I kind of aged out of it. So
well, that's why you watched Kids WB and Pokemon.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pokemon was always there for me.
Although I think by the time they got to Johto, you had jumped off ship, right?
I mean, as I got a little older, I wasn't watching the TV show, really. I mean, I was playing the games, of course, enthusiastically and religiously.
Mm-hmm.
But the show, not so much.
When would you say you jumped off? Was it after Orange Islands?
Probably.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
I love that we all did that.
I know.
I don't think I know a single person who said, yeah, I stuck with it through Johto. I stuck.
I definitely did not. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I know this is going to sound wild, but I jumped off kind of around the Orange Islands and I didn't really get back into the show until Sinnoh, Diamond and Pearl. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Didn't really watch any of it, like the Hoenn.
But you saw the Entei movie in theaters, right?
The movies are a different story.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
But yeah, I didn't go back and... Because I literally remember... This is crazy. I don't know why this memory sticks out in my head. Diamond had come out. Diamond and Pearl had come out recently. And I remember the first episode of Sinnoh coming on. And I remember watching it with, like, Dawn and Piplup and all that. So
And Paul.
God, I love Paul.
He was in those episodes, those early ones.
I don't know why it sticks out in my mind, but it does.
I think Cartoon Network was really, like, promoting that.
It must have been.
They were, like, really into Pokemon for a minute there.
What else? Anything else you want to talk about relevant to anything?
I am irrelevant. Did you remember? Because I didn't.
I remembered that, but I also remember I wanted to talk about I mentioned this on the pre-recording, but we didn't have a good segue transition into it. I was going to say, I hope that I've been tinkering with my computer, you guys, and I really hope that the upgrade that I gave it kind of helps with the performance of my computer. I bought a secondary internal hard drive and installed it this past week.
Oh, it came.
And I've already noticed. Yes, it did. It came.
I thought it got delayed because of all the disasters.
It was a pleasant surprise. And I was like, USPS, you tricked me. There was a snowstorm, of course, and it said that, oh, it was going to be delayed. And I was like, oh, how annoying, whatever, but I understand. But then it ended up showing up on the day originally was slated to be delivered. So, surprise. So I got that installed, which it was a little bit of a endeavor to do that, taking apart the computer. But I installed it, and I've already noticed a huge difference in how fast things go on this computer. Although I am frustrated because the reason why I did this... mainly, I'm just going to admit it out loud, was so I could play The Sims 4 more easily on my laptop. EA is fucking terrible, and I'm sure that we can all agree with that. Do you know, I won't even get into the technical side of it because I know it's a long and boring conversation, but basically the long and short of it is they make it impossible to run the game off of any other drive other than C.
Oh.
So I went through the whole rigmarole of like installing everything or uninstalling it, moving everything over to the D drive, the new drive, doing all this registry switching stuff, moving things, uninstalling the desktop EA launcher, all this stuff. Apparently, it's something with the app itself where it won't allow you to run the game off of anything other than C.
Why?
I fucking hate you.
Why?
Because EA is a hot pile of shit. Is why.
Yeah, I know people hate it, but I don't know the details. I think the only EA games I've ever owned in my life are Star Wars games, like recently.
They really have to go and ruin everything I love. They also have their disgusting paws all over Dragon Age, which we won't talk about that.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, bitter. I'm bitter. Anyway, I'm gonna have to do some more tinkering and finagling because apparently there's a way to make some kind of link between the C and D drive because I want the game to run off the D drive. I'm like, I didn't buy this whole ass terabyte thing just for it to continue to run off of the C drive. So we shall see. I know that was thrilling, but let it just be known that EA is a steaming pile of shit and they deserve every ounce of hate that they get because they're terrible. And that's my rant. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I'll never understand the appeal of The Sims, but you do you.
No. It's my guilty pleasure, you guys. I do love The Sims 4. I get into these moods, though. Like, The Sims 4 is kind of one of those things, and if anybody else out there plays The Sims, I'm sure you guys can relate for sure. It's one of those things that you get into really heavily, really hard, and you just play it, like, nonstop for, like, a week, and then you put it away for a year.
I will say, because I'm a console gamer, kind of, Target was running a sale on The Sims 4 Star Wars Batu, like, journey to the Galaxy's Edge.
No.
Sims people hate that shit.
Oh, they hate it.
They hate it.
It's like a running joke.
Yeah, everyone says that. But
it's a reviled pack.
That's the only pack I want.
Oh, my God.
And so I should have fucking bought it. It's a regret to this day. They had on sale for, like, $10. You should have said that. I should have done it.
All the Simmers are going to come and, like, ritually dismember you now.
You can punish me by leaving 5 stars. Because, by the way, Apple Podcasts still has not removed those evil AI podcasts.
Yeah, number one in anime podcast, Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah, number one through, like, 300.
I don't understand that.
Should we take a look right now and see what's ranking? Like, it's insane.
I should say I would be surprised, but I know I'm not going to be surprised.
Nah, I'll just take my word for it. It's the same shit.
AI is ruining everything.
If you support AI, go fuck yourself. I don't care.
So, what's the ranking?
Oh, we're not even on there.
Yeah, but, like, what is the ranking on anime? What is it? What is the category anime and...
animation manga? Okay, manga. Number 2 is Agatha Christie again. Number 6 is Agatha Christie. Number 7 is Tucker Carlson. Number 9 is The Morning Person, A Daily Meditation. Number 11 is Jason and Travis Kelce, Football Brothers. Number 13 is whoever the fuck Andrew Huberman is. 29 is Winston Churchill.
What?
35 is called How to Make Money. Number 39 is called Baking.
The well-known figurehead of anime and manga, Winston Churchill.
Number 61 is called Dinosaurs.
Ooh, dinosaurs.
It's AI. Don't support it.
Obviously, these are like, what, bought and paid for? I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know what? We're not going to let this get us down. Just, we appreciate anybody who listens. Tell your friends. Leave us 5 stars. Review us. We would super appreciate it. And we're just going to keep chugging along and doing what we like to do, which is talk about Pokemon.
Well, we have other people who talk about Pokemon as well, because we got a new comment from Pokemon Megastar.
Share your thoughts, Pokemon Megastar.
Which I love. I just figured out how to find the comments on Spotify creators or whatever it's called. And as soon as I did, they completely changed their system. And now it's like way harder to find comments. Yeah. Of course. On a comment on our episode 161, The Once and Future Slowking. Headcanon time. The Entei and Ursaring are actually rivals battling it out every day. The hot springs are a neutral zone where they can heal. Entei lost their previous battle, so he was heading there, which is why he looked so haggard.
So that's why he looked like he had mange and stuff?
Yeah, I think maybe Entei already has mange and stuff, and that makes him susceptible to that crazy Ursa Ring in their daily battles.
I mean, I guess Entei kind of is like, it looks kind of like a bear, sort of.
Entei looks like a bear?
Ish. Kind of. It looks no. like a little bit of a bear. Doesn't it?
Not at all.
Come on. Yes, it does.
No.
It has some bearish qualities.
People freak the hell out about Entei, Raikou, and Suicune and what, like, animals they are. But I've never heard anyone say bear. That's a new one.
Okay, according to Bulbapedia.
No!
Look, you asked for this because you wouldn't accept my bear.
Is it going to say bear?
It says mastiff.
That's a dog.
Mastiff, like a dog. Are they dogs? Because I feel like Raikou and Suicune are like cats.
I really think all three of them are just cats. Perhaps with other animal features.
Entei does not
features.
Look like a cat.
Entei looks like a lion.
I guess.
Kind
maybe
of.
With the face.
Not exactly like a lion, but...
Like a bear and a lion cross thing? I don't know, maybe.
I mean, Suicune is definitely like a leopard or a panther or something. And Raikou's obviously a saber-tooth tiger.
Uh-huh. I think we're thinking too hard.
I think we always think too hard about nothing. Comment continues. I'm surprised to hear we only have about 8 pod episodes left before Hoenn. I'm excited to get to the league battles. Oh, that makes one of us Pokemon Megastar because I don't know how we're going to handle those.
Battle episodes are always difficult to cover on an audio podcast, but we endeavor to do our best.
Also very close to meeting the sailor that Austin wrote that fan fiction between him and Ash about.
The sailor. Oh my god, the sailor.
I knew someone was going to bring that up. And I'm so glad, Pokemon Megastar, that you remembered that from our earliest episodes.
Okay, remind the viewers about your fan fiction.
The old fan fiction I wrote as a youngin of Ash and the Sailor having a sexy time.
Austin steamy. Okay, imagine like reading Austin.
It was not steamy
Austin.
At all. Like, no, of course.
Steamy in the mind of like a teenager.
Younger than that.
Oh my god.
Like 12.
I think there's a lot of us out there, whether you want to admit it or not, had a moment of their young preteen life where you dabbled in some kind of bad fan fiction writing.
For those who don't know, one of our lesser interesting Patreon rewards is cringy fan fiction recreations, where I tried my best to recreate old fan fiction from when I was a literal child.
Boring? What are you talking about? That's thrilling, actually. If I were you guys, I would go and sign up right now. Because Austin is a great writer. He knows how to write, and he can write really well. And so you can make him write some stuff, too, if you want. You go to our Patreon, subscribe, make him write a fan fiction.
Well, there's only one up so far, but I'm going to make sure a second one is posted, and that's going to be Ash and the Sailor.
I am so excited. I want to read about Ash and
no.
the Sailor.
No. Yes. Oh, boy.
God. You know what? Just think about it, Austin. Just think about all the depraved, wacky fan fictions that exist out there. That's really nothing compared to some of that stuff.
Yeah, but I actually have a sense of shame.
But that's how you get the best fan fictions, is when you don't have shame.
What I want is for Alex to figure out some of her old fan fiction that she could rewrite. We can include that on the Patreon. How about that?
I don't remember, actually. I mean, I know I did write a lot when I was younger, but I don't remember what I wrote about.
Do you remember a single one you wrote? Like, any detail at all?
Okay. I feel like I'm going to regret this very deeply, but I'm just going to say it because it wasn't really so much that I wrote fan fiction, like a self-contained story just myself. I used to be on forums and role play with people.
Oh!
So I would write little snippets, you know, exchanges going back and forth, you know, to role play via text or you know, based forums. So it was kind of more like that than it was writing like a story. So that is my confession. Anyway, we appreciate all that to say. We got off on a crazy tangent there. But thank you, Pokemon Megastar, for your comments. As always, keep them coming. We love to engage with anybody who is wanting to leave us comments. So please do.
And if you're a sexy sailor, hit us up.
Oh, my God. Okay. Anything else, Austin? We've kind of rambled on for quite a while.
We never do such a thing.
But now it's time to ramble ourselves on to the episodes. Goes the Sneasel and Acclaimed Flame.
We got two Torch episodes in a row. Pokemon League Torch episodes.
Not that we've ever done a Pokemon League Torch episode before.
And not that we'll ever do one ever again.
Wait, really?
No, we will.
Oh, shit. I was so hopeful for like 1 second.
Heads.
You're doing the 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Are you ready to pop into the 30 seconds summary?
Pop my Sneasel.
Get ready to pop your Sneasel in 3, 2, 1, go.
The twerps involve themselves, again, in something that's not any of their business, because a random wild Sneasel, Machop, and Machoke are, like, tormenting the local Ho-Oh Flame Temple that they use for the Pokemon League? Okay. Team Rocket's there, and Jessie is, like, in love with Sneasel, and she wants to get rid of Meowth to get Sneasel on the team, and there's like a kind of weird looking guy named Harrison, and he's from Hoenn, and he's a Blaziken and a Houndoom, and he catches the Sneasel.
Time.
Okay.
Good job, Austin. That was thrilling. Yeah, so here we go. We are almost to the end. We have kicked Larvitar to the curb.
Rather unceremoniously.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm still a little bit bitter about that whole ending of the previous episode where they don't even say goodbye to it. They're just like, okay, peace out. And then Larvitar has to wave from across the gorge. They do not give a shit.
I guess it's like with like a dog or something where like you're not supposed to like make a big production out of your exit. You just give it where it needs to go and just leave discreetly.
I guess. I don't know. I think that it would have been better to have a proper, at least a goodbye. I mean, it didn't have to be like a tearful goodbye. You know, it was never like Ash's Pokemon. So it wasn't like this bond that had formed. But, I mean, they did kind of have a unique connection in the fact that they, like, were in its dream purgatory hell. So, I don't know. I just feel like after that, we should have had something more. But it doesn't matter because that's in the past. We are at this in-between place between the Pokemon Preserve and Silvertown where there's, like, a shrine. And they see a crowd of people who are waiting outside a large gate, but the gate's closed. And so they're like, they just sidle up alongside the crowd and they're like, hey guys, what's going on? And two dudes who look like they were drawn out of a completely different anime are like, it's the Ho-Oh Shrine.
Oh, I didn't pay attention to the dudes.
They had like weirdly drawn noses. I don't know. They looked really strange to me.
Okay.
But everybody is being super annoying and impatient because nobody has anything better to do with their time than crowd around this gate. And this poor shrine employee guy is like, I'm so sorry, everyone, but due to unforeseen circumstances, there's a delay with the torch lighting ceremony beginning. Togepi, meanwhile, takes this opportunity to menace this poor man and jumps out of Misty's arms and runs straight into the gate, pushes past the crowd, and they run inside because I guess trespassing is on the menu today. But before they can really get too far with this, they're interrupted by a guy with a Poliwhirl who's like dead on its back, and a girl, I couldn't tell what she was carrying.
A bunch of Pokeballs.
Oh, it was Pokeballs.
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't tell. I was like, what is that? But they run off and they're like, extremely mad and angry, and they're like, this is too dangerous, and you should be ashamed of yourself, and we don't have to stand for this. So they run off, and of course everybody's like, what's going on?
And they don't say what's going on for, like, ever.
I know. They, like, really draw this out. I'm like, what's the problem? Can we all just communicate and use our words? Because that would be really helpful. So another guy who introduces himself as Harrison arrives. And Harrison has a Houndoom, and he looks really cool.
He does?
Compared to Ash, I don't know.
Does he?
I just think it's interesting. Okay, Harrison is interesting for a lot of reasons. One being that he's much older than the twerps, because he's quite tall.
Oh, you mean because he's illustrated to look like a young adult. Like, he is a young man.
Yes.
Because, like, here, I'm going to send you the screen grab.
Okay. What are we sending?
Look at the cartoony Ash versus the way he is illustrated.
Yeah.
Like, he has somewhat more realistic hair. Somewhat. His facial structure is different than Ash's.
His facial structure is longer.
Yes.
Than Ash's more round baby face.
Is that what you mean by cool?
Yeah. I mean, it's clear that he's an adult or a young adult.
He's taller than Brock.
He's way taller than Brock. When I say cool, I just mean that I always think it's interesting from the perspective of, like, other trainers when we have somebody who's not a 10-year-old who's going around and doing the Pokemon League challenge, because Ash is, like, a special case, right? I mean, we don't really... I mean, we do have, like, the Richies of the world and the Garys and stuff like that, but, like, it honestly makes more sense to me to have, like, a young adult person who's like, okay, I finally trained, I've been doing this for a long time, I'm to the point where I'm, like, able to compete in a conference. I just think it's more realistic.
He's the age Ash should be at the end of Ash's career. Or rather,
yes.
By the time he becomes more of a renowned trainer. As opposed to being eternally 10 years old and, like, right. Having an impossible list of accomplishments.
And every time, okay, aside from, like, the little rival characters that we get, like I said, like Richie or something, every time we go to one of these conferences, all of the other competitors are this age, older.
Like the Jeanette Fishers of the world.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Who was the lady? Oh my gosh, remind me. In the competition that Misty was in, like the Oceanic Conference or whatever.
The Oceanic
Whatever.
The World Cup.
Yeah.
You can remember it because World Cup.
Oh, right. Because we joked about that.
Yeah.
What was her name? The Trinity? The woman?
Was it Trinity?
Yeah, I think you're right. She was a grown person. So it makes sense, in my opinion, to have more of these types of people than like an Ash or whatever.
I guess Harrison's an interesting type because he's kind of the first ever person we've met who's going to be one of these older league competitors that Ash is going to have. Like your Alons, for example.
Oh my God.
It's a famous one. Or Tobias from Diamond and Pearl.
Guys, just wait till we get to
Diamond and Pearl. Oh my gosh. Okay, but this guy's kind of the template for them, I would argue.
I don't know if that speaks better or worse for Ash. Like, these people are more mature, supposedly more accomplished.
I think it speaks to the fact that Ash is a goddamn prodigy.
We'll get there. Harrison's also interesting because he announces that he's from an interesting place called Little Root Town. And they've never heard of Little Root Town because Little Root is in a town or a country across the sea called Hoenn.
Country?
Are they not different countries, regions, whatever?
Do they ever use the word country? I don't think they do.
Would you consider them to be different countries, or are they different regions?
Well, no, because the first four regions are not countries. They're all parts of Japan.
Okay.
But something like Kalos would be a country.
Okay, so Hoenn would be a region.
I mean, I like to think that they don't have countries in the Pokemon world, and that they just have different regions.
It's a utopia.
Yeah, it's a one world that respects cultures throughout the world. And there's no defined borders.
I love how me misspeaking and just saying country turned and spiraled out of control into this.
Yeah, okay. Fanfiction time for the geography of the Pokemon world and the political structures.
He's from a different place.
Yes. He's from a different Nintendo console. He's from the Game Boy Advance.
He's more advanced.
Ah!
Ha! Meanwhile, the shrine guy, which I don't think he has a name. Does he have a name? Should we call him something?
I did not care enough about him to look.
Shrinington. I don't know.
Todd?
His name is Todd?
No, I made that up.
Oh, well, we can't use Todd because we have Todd Snap.
Oh, damn it. I forgot about Todd Snap. I mercifully lived in a world without Todd Snap.
Todd Snap's not the worst.
Okay, Bulbapedia, our favorite website ever, does not give this guy his own page nor name. Meanwhile, Mr. Douglas has his own page. Just saying.
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to call him Mario because
Mario.
I don't know why I'm thinking Super Mario Sunshine Shrine Sunshine. I don't fucking know. My brain's weird. He's Mario now. So Mario tells us that he can't get to the flame at the top of the stairs because there's a commotion up there. But before we get into the specifics of commotion, I forgot. We get a legend, a story about a war that was fought on this ground many centuries ago, and many Pokemon were, quote unquote, injured. But I think he really means killed.
Injured fatally.
Fatally injured. And so Ho-Oh came down after the carnage happened, and he breathed all of his halitosis breath all over everything to burn up all the human weapons, to teach the men of their hubris. But one flame was preserved, and that's the sacred flame that we have today.
Can we talk about how everyone was like, what an amazing story? And I was like, that was boring as shit. I don't like that story.
I mean, I guess it's interesting in the fact that, like, humans used Pokemon for war in the past.
Okay, fair enough.
Nowadays, though, we have this shrine where they keep the sacred flame. Unless you were, like, tired of the whole sacred flame thing, well, we got more of that. How many sacred flames have we had? We had the Dragonite Valley one.
Oh, I forgot about that one. But that wasn't a Pokemon League flame. That was just a separate flame that
yeah, but it was kind of the same thing.
Blares. Anyway, there's the Moltres flame for the Kanto. These flames are not very interesting, I'm sorry to say.
I am a flaming Moltres.
That flame is interesting.
These days there's a shrine and there's a territorial Sneasel that has moved in. And it keeps attacking people alongside its minions, Machop and Machoke, and keeps people away.
Just because it's an asshole. There's no reasoning.
It's just an asshole. And apparently, we get like a small cutaway to people laying in the hospital ward. One guy has his eyes gouged out. Another guy has a broken arm. Another guy has a broken leg. Like, yep. It's pretty wild.
That was pretty graphic.
It was pretty graphic.
I choose to believe that was Machoke was breaking people's limbs. And Sneasel will scratch the eyes out.
Yeah, probably. And I'm not kidding when I say that. There was literally a man with his, like, eye wrapped up. So I'm like, I think he gouged out his eye. Twerps and Harrison are like, okay, well, those ineffectual fools couldn't do it, but we can. So we're going to show that Sneasel what's what. So they make their way up there. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is on the scene. And they are plotting to steal the flame, to hold it for ransom, to get some money. From somebody. These, like, shrine monks. I don't know. Meanwhile, Sneasel and Machop and Machoke intercept them. And I don't know what you thought about Sneasel, but I hated its voice.
Sneasel! Well, that's an easy one to do.
It sounded like it was talking through, like, a vocoder or something. It was so weird.
Honestly, I paid such little attention to Sneasel that I had nothing to say about it.
It had a terrible voice.
Did it sound like that? Did it sound like that? Sneasel!
Yeah, it did, but it had like a reverb on it. It was very strange. So the twerps arrive at the top of this staircase and Misty, out of nowhere, decides to challenge Machop and Machoke. Brock is like, okay, you do you, Misty. Okay, this part I was like thinking the episode was going to take a different turn because when Ash called out Totodile to battle Sneasel, I thought, oh, for sure he's going to have Totodile put out the flame.
Oh.
Because he kept using water gun all around it.
Nope.
You didn't think that?
Not for a second.
So they literally make a point of showing Ash opening up the double doors to reveal the flame. And then the very next scene, he's calling out Totodile. I was like, oh shit, it's going to happen. He's going to put it out.
I was distracted because Totodile does his little dance. Sneasel attacks it and he jumps back with his dance moves. And Ash is like, Totodile, you shouldn't be dancing. You were battling. And I'm like, Ash, that's like Totodile's entire thing is dancing.
Is dancing.
And you implement that into your dodging. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Where's Tierno when you need him?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Ash pissed me off at that moment. I'm like, why are we chewing out Totodile? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, Totodile gets his ass handed to him, so he wasn't having a really good day today.
No, he was not. Poor Totodile.
He gets thrown off a fucking cliff, so that's really terrible. Ash and Totodile roll down the hill and slam into a tree, which would have killed any normal person, but this is Ash we're talking about, so he's totally fine.
He should have had broken all his limbs and got his eyes gouged out.
Oh my god. And this is how the anime ended. Jesse and James, though, are conspiratorially plotting in the bushes to retire Meowth, because Jesse is so sick and tired of losing all the time. If they had this Sneasel as their Team Rocket representative, they would be doing way better than they are today. So they want to replace Meowth. Is it just me, or do I think Team Rocket would have looked good with a Sneasel?
Team Rocket would look good with a Sneasel.
That's what I'm saying.
It fits Jessie pretty well.
It's got her color scheme a little bit with the red feathers.
I know.
And her hair.
It works.
God, I could see her with like a Weavile or something.
Ugh. I mean, this is the character trait that's going to come back. Jessie loves Sneasel.
Such a missed opportunity.
I mean, that's realistic. You don't care about a Pokemon at first, and then you're like, you get to know it better, and you're like, oh, well, okay.
It grows on you.
Like Bulbasaur, famously.
I know, Bulbasaur wasn't a favorite at first. I know, shocker.
But we all came to appreciate it over time, I think.
We all saw the error of our ways. So, the plan doesn't work, though, because Meowth ruins it. He's feeling very vindictive. So, Jessie and James come up with this plan to trick it with, like, a smoke bomb present, using Meowth as, like, a decoy Sneasel. But he drops the whole plan on Sneasel, and he's like, yeah, they were going to trick you, so why don't you throw it right back in their face? Sneasel is just completely aghast with the audacity of this, and they get blasted off because they get the smoke bomb thrown back in their face. And, yeah. Although I did really like their Sneasel balloon. They went and changed their whole Meowth balloon for the occasion.
The Sneasel balloon was good. Meowth Sneasel disguise was not good.
No.
He's going to get a somewhat well-known Sneasel disguise later, but I don't know when that happens.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember that at all, so.
Oh my gosh, I can picture it vividly. He looks really good, actually.
You're going to have to pop a picture in the chat.
Let me find it.
I don't.
Here it is. I found it. All right. This says it's from the episode The Keystone Pops.
So keep that in mind, listeners. Oh, okay. So he actually does like, he's got like face paint on and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, he looks way more like a Sneasel in this. The costume he had in this was just kind of like a hoodie thing that he sort of like pulled over his head, but his like face was visible. All right, I'm sure I'll forget all about this by the time we get to this episode.
I mean, there's nothing as famous as his Sunflora disguise, but
never forget the horrific episode with the Sunflora who have gigantic heads. Because those fucking crazy people in that Sunflora town were giving their Sunflora steroids to win that Sunflora contest.
We had a lot of fun with that episode.
That was a horrific episode.
Remember her illegal piping system? Stealing water from the mountains?
Yeah, because she was like digging up the ground and like laying her pipeline system where she was siphoning water. God, go back and listen to that episode, listeners. I can't remember. Which one was that called again?
JoJo's been so goddamn long.
It's something. I know we're so bad at hyping our own episodes up, but I'm sure it's, if you go back a little ways, you'll find it.
I've aged since then.
It really feels like we've been doing this for quite a while.
We have. Oh, stupid Austin. I'm Googling Sneasel Meowth and I found some porn. Okay.
Please stop.
Okay,
oh my God. And when I say please stop, I mean stop for your own sanity, but also anybody who's out there drawing that, please stop.
It was specifically porn of Sneasler, just FYI.
Sneasler?
Yeah. Did you forget Sneasler?
I did forget Sneasler.
Oh, look at this.
Please don't show me.
No. Sorry, I did not transition. This is Meowth as a Weavile. He looks good.
Oh, he does look cute. Oh, wow. They actually fixed it so that Weavile isn't fucking green.
He's yeah. Like a okay.
Nice dark blue.
We got to talk about this. The anime, and I think some later games, depict Sneasel as like an ugly green color.
Did you catch the line that Jessie said in this very episode?
What'd she say?
She said green guy in reference to Sneasel.
Well, it is green.
I know, but we hate that. We hate the fact that it's green.
I think it should be closer to a black blue color. Yeah, like a dark blue.
We have the same problem with Murkrow being a blue versus a black.
It must be hard for them to animate that color, you know? They must not be able to do it proficiently.
There has to be something with the color palette that it has to be, right? I mean.
But I think like the official Sneasel like became more of a green over time. Whereas Weavile has always been. I think Weavile's consistently been the same blue color. But they should be the same, I would say. But they're not.
I like how they completely made it a moot point with Sneasler being like white and purple or whatever it is.
Okay, I'm looking
like,
now.
There, you can't have an argument.
Here's all of them. Hisuian Sneasel is white and purple, and then Sneasler is more of a, what would you call that? It's more of a blue.
So in this particular artwork, it looks like Sneasel is like a teal, almost, like a dark teal.
It's not quite the green of the anime, but it's closer.
Weavile being the correct color.
Yeah, Weavile has the objectively correct color scheme.
I really think, okay, Hisuian Sneasel is cute. Sneasler is an abomination.
It's an odd one. I would say that.
I love it because of the meme of it carrying the trainer around in, like, a backpack.
That's pretty great.
I love Sneasler. I just think he's crazy looking.
Okay, this is what I think is, like, the ideal Sneasel.
Also, the fact that it's called Sneasler is hilarious.
Okay, this, I think it's a TCG card from Neo Genesis, and it uses the official art of Sneasel from back then. And that's the color scheme I like.
It's a blue.
It's a blue.
With magenta feathers.
Not this green shit. It looks like diarrhea dog shit. The green.
If something of that color is coming out of an animal, please seek medical attention immediately.
All of my foster dogs have needed medical attention immediately.
Oh my gosh. It's always okay. Something.
Okay.
So Sneasel's cool, but we unfortunately have to put an end to its antics. So Harrison does so by calling out a very interesting Pokemon that we fucking love, Blaziken.
Do we fucking love Blaziken?
I fucking love Blaziken.
Okay.
Did you forget about Blaziken Mask?
Okay, Blaziken Mask I love.
We will talk about Blaziken Mask, you guys. Stay tuned for Blaziken Mask because it's worth it. Stay tuned
for a long time.
We'll get there eventually. I'm sorry. I have to ask you, what is this, like, Blaziken hate that I'm sensing from
you? Okay, here's the thing. I don't hate Blaziken. You gasped at that.
I felt like there was, like, a butt coming.
But? Blaziken's, like, a super popular, and I've never quite understood why.
Because he looks like an airplane.
I understand the concept of Blaziken is... He doesn't look like a fucking airplane. What the fuck are you talking about?
His head! His airplane wing things.
Okay, is that what that is?
Is it not?
Oh, but now we gotta look at Blaziken. Hold on.
I swear to God, if I go onto Bulbapedia and it does not say and it looks like an airplane, I'm gonna scream.
Bulbapedia is gonna say it looks like a shoe or something.
Okay, it says bipedal chicken-like Pokemon. Okay, we know this.
I don't like that it's a chicken man. That's what it is. I don't like the chicken man.
Chicken man?
I don't like that it sets a precedent for very humanoid Pokemon starters.
Okay, it just calls it a V-shaped crest. I don't necessarily think it looks like a man. I think it's got enough, like, animalistic stuff where it's not like, what are some really, like, egregious examples of humanoid Pokemon? It's not a Machoke, for God's sake.
Well, no. Do you think it looks like an airplane because of this?
Oh, because of the unused pre-alpha sketch that looks like Latias.
Yeah.
Yes, that was what I...
Latios version of Blaziken. Or perhaps a Blaziken version of Latios Latias. I don't know.
Okay, listeners, if you're not familiar, there's like a pre-alpha sketch artwork where it's very obvious that they combined the elements of like what became Latias and what would eventually become Blaziken into like one thing. And at some point in the development stage, they separated them, obviously. Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
I wonder if there's any sprites from the Pokemon leak that would show anything like that. Anyway.
I don't know. I love Blaziken. Torchic was my very first starter when I played Sapphire for the first time. I love it. And I think it was fun because it had a... Well, don't come at me, please. Because there was no way that we could have known going forward the firefighting debacle of it all. But it was the first firefighting starter.
Yeah, it started that precedent.
But that was new. The dual type, right?
That's true, that's true. Yeah, I found it. Here's a sprite that was leaked of that early Blaziken design.
That's cool.
I don't know if it evolved from Torchic yet or not.
I just really love to see the development process of like the Pokemon and how they arrived where they eventually arrived to.
Yeah, that stuff is super interesting. I wish we got more of that kind of stuff. Like officially released.
Enough about that. So Blaziken's here, you guys. It's super interesting. We have a Hoenn Pokemon. The twerps have never seen the likes of such a thing. Ash tries to pull out Dexter and get some data on it, but his Pokédex has not been updated, so there is no data available.
What the fuck, shocking. Dexter? You don't have information on a starter Pokemon?
You have to get the chip upgrade.
These Pokédexes suck. They don't have entries on like the Pokemon of the neighboring regions.
Considering that Misty makes a comment about computers in the next episode and seems genuinely tickled about technology, I'm gonna assume that they're using some outdated technology in Johto and Kanto, and they do not get cloud updates.
No, they do not.
To their devices, so.
It's still 2002 or whatever. We gotta remember, they don't have smartphones, even though they will.
I mean.
Well, Ash is still 10.
I'm sorry. I know we'll talk a little bit more about this in the next episode, but I was really tickled about Misty's like, oh my gosh, and they use computers? I thought that was cute. Yeah, so long story short, you guys, Harrison apparently has been wanting a Sneasel for some time, and this is his chance, so he catches it. congratulations. They get the sacred flame to Mario, the shrine employee, who has since hired Machoke and Machop to guard the shrine from something.
Well, that's fucking convenient. Okay.
That is fucking convenient. Good for them. And so Harrison is like, yeah, and by the way, Ash, I'm going to see you in a couple days at the Silver Conference because I'm also competing. And Ash is like, oh, what? The end.
Not a thrilling episode.
I liked Blaziken. Speak for yourself.
I think this episode was riding on the coattails of Blaziken making an early appearance.
You just know how excited people were watching this for the first time and you see a brand new Pokemon. That's always a thrill.
Yeah, that's true.
I always love seeing a new Pokemon.
I can't muster the excitement for Blaziken that you can.
You're jaded and cynical. You spend too long with Blaziken. You're like, oh, Blaziken is 20-year-old news. But me, I'm like, I love Blaziken. It's so exciting.
MVP, LVP, end quote. Will Blaziken get MVP? We'll find out.
I don't know. Stay tuned.
You're first.
Oh, good. I'm going to start with my quote. My quote being, actually, can I do two? I have an honorary one.
How about you do it after mine?
Okay. So Jesse says, this is when they're plotting to steal the flame. Jesse says, hey, James, did you overhear what I overheard? And James replies, yes, there's a sacred flame that usually tops the torch that caps the Silver Conference commencement, but they can't seem to attain that unattainable topper. All right, my MVP is going to be Blaziken because it was there and it was cool. And Austin's a Blaziken hater. Chicken man.
It's got that feathery crotch.
Oh my God, stop. I wasn't even thinking of the feathery crotch. Oh no, you ruined it. My LVP is going to be the Sneasel that gouged that poor guy's eyes out because that was just unnecessary.
All right, my quote is a weird one. Jesse says, Meowth has been nothing to us but a lead weight, dragging us down the drain to doom and gloom. And Meowth, behind the bushes, listening in, says, better look in the mirror, sister, if you want to see who's in the charge of the gloom and doom patrol, which I selected because that is totally a reference to DC's Doom Patrol. Right?
Is it? I have no idea what you just said.
Doom Patrol. Okay, anyway.
I don't know what that means. Doom Patrol. That's a DC thing.
My LVP is going to be Jessie.
Oh, dear.
For trying to get rid of Meowth.
Yeah, that was kind of...
She's been on a tear shitty. Lately of getting rid of Team Rocket Pokemon.
I mean, she's trying to refresh their strategy. I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So I guess Jessie's trying to make changes.
Don't get rid of fucking Meowth. She really randomly was just like, fuck Meowth, I hate Meowth, we're getting rid of Meowth. Goodbye, Meowth.
Yeah, it does seem a little bit short-sighted in the fact that they could have both together. I don't know right. Why they have to get rid of Meowth.
Meowth does everything. Meowth operates the vehicles. Meowth orders all the parts. Meowth is in the motto. Meowth is, like, kind of the brains of the operation. Like,
I mean, the fact that he can understand Pokemon and, like, human and be a translator is invaluable. Like, you can't get rid of that.
I do kind of love the running joke that they always overlook the fact that that's, like, incredibly remarkable and, like, a one in a million thing. But, okay.
They really don't know how to utilize their own talents.
No, they do not. That's their flaw. That's or a one fatal of their flaws. Flaw. My MVP is going to be the Sneasel for gouging that guy's eye out.
Oh my God.
Because hardcore, man.
That was some hardcore shit.
Also, the Sneasel is just an asshole. It's just like, this is my territory now. Fuck all you people. I'm going to kill you if you come near me. For
does
no reason.
The Pokédex, does that like talk about Sneasel being territorial? I think it does. Okay. Doesn't it?
Well, then where the hell was it before?
Where?
Like, where was the Sneasel before it came here?
It was hiding off stage. It wasn't time for it to come on yet.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm looking up some Pokédex entries. Okay. It says it's vicious in nature.
Right.
It drives Pidgey from the nests and eats their eggs.
Sure.
Yeah. Apparently it's an egg stealer. Okay. Extremely vicious and will not stop attacking until its foe is incapable of moving. All right. Apparently this is a vicious Pokemon. So I guess it tracks.
What was your backup quote?
Right. My backup quote is just a little one-off line where Jesse screams out, I can't stand poverty any longer.
Okay.
When they're plotting to steal Sneasel, or the flame, rather, and sell it. So, on to the next.
Mm-hmm.
A claim to flame.
All right. Are you ready to summarize?
Sure thing.
3, 2, 1, go.
So we've arrived in Silvertown finally, and we run into a familiar face. Gary's here. Oh my gosh, we love Gary. They also see Mr. Goodshow, who's like the League Torch guy. They begin their sort of conference weeding out of the people, and Ash beats a guy named Salvador and his ferret. They also reminisce, Ash and Gary, on the beginning of their journey and how things could have gone. They have the opening ceremony. Ash saves the day by running with the torch.
Time.
And here we go.
All right, here we go. It is leak time, kind of, because we still have one more episode of setup before the real stuff begins. Simultaneously, though, we're not going to waste time because we're just in Silvertown now, and Ash is already registered for the League. Okay. Remember in Kanto when he had, like, fish a Magikarp out of an aquarium to figure out who his opponent was?
Oh my gosh, I completely forgot about that.
That just hit me all of a sudden.
See, we're a little bit more technologically advanced now.
Just a little bit. We're going to get on that in just a second. Ash runs into Gary, and Brock is really impressed that Gary's already completed all of his paperwork. Okay. Amazing.
Wow, he followed the rules and did his conference registration. Congratulations, Gary.
Gary and Ash do some flirting, and now we are leaving Gary. Once again, Misty and Brock are allowed to stay in the Athletes Village with Ash, and they get to their suite, and it's the largest fucking deluxe suite you've ever seen in your life.
This was like the penthouse suite.
My God, and everyone gets one of these? Jesus Christ, how much space is this? Because there's over 200 people registered for the league.
I know.
And they get the suite before the prelims, so everyone gets these.
Well, how do we know? Because we don't see. Maybe Ash somehow connived his way into the penthouse suite, but everybody else has to sleep in, like, camping tents outside.
If anyone should have the penthouse suite, it should be Gary for getting his paperwork done proficiently.
Right.
Anyway. So, in the suite with its hideous orange furniture, Misty sees there's a desk with a large desktop computer monitor on it, and she's like, oh my god, a computer! How?
I know.
Wild! Oh my gosh!
They're fucking shocked. They don't use it, though.
Not in this episode.
Oh, maybe they do, because I was like, that's an interesting thing to point out that we're not going to do anything with.
Specifically, this computer has stats on all the trainers who are registered, so it's kind of like everyone can go on there and see who all is there and who has what Pokemon, I guess?
Do we think that this is better or worse for the trainers? Like, do you think they should be allowed to do research beforehand, or do you think it'd be better to just, it'd be a real test of skill and adaptability if they didn't know anything?
In a realistic world, if this did not exist as an officially sanctioned guide, there would be, like, bootleg websites posting this kind of stuff about who all the competitors are, right?
That's true.
Presumably that stuff still does exist. Well, maybe not in the Pokemon world where everything's perfect in all times and no one ever has bad intentions, but...
Unless you're Giovanni.
Giovanni's aside. So even though we have the amazingness of the computer, we go back outside and find Mr. Goodshow, who's handing out balloons to children. Okay. Great.
Okay.
Glad he's still around.
He's not dead, if you were wondering.
Does he still have a torch in his jacket? I don't know.
Okay, so just a quick reminder, if you don't know who Mr. Goodshow is, Mr. Goodshow is the president of the League Torch Committee. He's basically in charge of, you guessed it, the fire and the torch, because why not?
I want to take this torch and extinguish it myself. I'm so tired of this fucking torch. Where was he when the Sneasel was menacing the torch? What was he doing?
Passing out balloons.
What does he do day to day other than pass out balloons? I don't know.
Yeah, what is involved in the day to day of the League Torch Committee president? Like, what else is he up to? I don't know.
So whatever the hell he has to do here, he makes his little appearance. Great, thanks. He remembers who the twerps are, which, who could forget the children who, like, interrupted the torch running and made it all about themselves, I suppose.
Well, guess what they're going to do today.
Oh, well. Anyway, there's a whole long scene where Jesse and James are waiters at a restaurant and Meowth is the chef, but a little girl calls Jesse an old hag.
I felt that for Jesse. That little child was, she was a brat.
That where was her parents? Horrible child.
Horrid, horrid child. She was so rude. Jesse was so nice, too. She literally, they're like running around because, of course, it's extremely busy, right? There's a lot of patrons. They're running around like chickens with their head cut, Blazikins with their head cut off.
Ah.
And this little girl interrupts Jesse and she's like, where's my hamburger? And Jesse's like, oh no. And she's like patting her head. She's like, I'm so sorry. Let me go check on your hamburger. Just wait here, sweet child.
And she's like, hurry up, you old bat.
Yeah, then she's like a fucking horrible menace.
Step on it, you old haggard witch.
I know. This girl gets LVP already, I can tell. I don't fault Jesse at all for getting horribly upset, because I would be also offended if I was her.
Jessie is pissed, and she goes to the kitchen, finds me out, finds the hamburger, I suppose, for that little girl, and immediately eats it in one. It was not a hamburger. It was like, what was that, a curry or something?
Yeah, it looked like a curry.
Ugh, hamburger. Shut the fuck up.
That was the best revenge. I also would have eaten that girl's food.
And then Jessie, of course, she's in one of her moods. And so James and Pialth come down with her, and they're all just eating the food in the kitchen. And the manager comes in and is like, get the fuck out.
Revenge
get out.
Eating.
That was a worthless scene, but it was kind of
that
funny.
Was a worthless scene.
Totally worthless.
It doesn't go anywhere.
No.
We don't come back to this at all, so.
Okay, so back to the twerps. We get some stats, because Brock has to be the one to inform us of how all this works, because Ash can't read.
Just a quick aside, there's a few instances of Ash basically just completely shrugging off the technical aspects of this. Like, he actually says, well, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I don't care. I'm just here to win. Like, he literally does not care.
Ash, this is why you don't deserve to win, Ash. You can't look at a goddamn flowchart.
He just strong arms his way through everything.
Brock babies him.
He does.
Too much. Ash, this is not Kanto. You've been at this for a while now. We need to stop letting you get away with the shit.
Ash has never been on his own. He's always had people there helping pick up the slack, unlike trainers who travel solo who have to be self-sufficient.
So Brock, exposition man, informs us the Johto League's pretty cutthroat. Before it even begins officially, everyone has to battle 3 times. And from that, from a pool of over 200 people who presumably all have 8 gym badges, they all get eliminated without even being on the field. And they don't get to be on TV or anything like that.
So let me get this straight. They have this pre-screening round where it's just randomly drawn and they have over 200 people, but they get filtered down to about 48.
Right. So presumably some people win 3 matches. Some people win 2. Some people win 1. Some people win 0. How exactly that works, I don't know if the math on that checks out. How do they get it down to 48 exactly?
I don't know.
Someone who's a mathematician, figure this out for us.
Yeah, so basically they take all these people, they go through these pre-screening matches where it's just like a 1v1 with one Pokemon. And then Brock says something like you get to battle a couple times. I don't remember.
He said specifically 3 times.
Okay, so yeah, because he says something like you don't have to necessarily win all 3 times, but if you win twice, you get to move on or something. I don't know.
But presumably there's not going to be exactly 48 people who got 3 victories. Like, say there's 30 people who get 3 victories and then 40 people who get 2 victories. How do we decide who's in the 48?
Do they have tiebreakers?
They must.
Among those
they must.
Two-time winners? I don't know. Math ain't mathin', but whatever. It doesn't matter.
It really does not matter. I suppose Ash wins all 3 of his because we don't get into this anymore in any more detail.
No, we don't.
Okay, the one battle we see in full with Ash is versus Salvador and his Furret.
Furret! It's Furret's time to shine!
Furret finally gets a time to shine. It stepped out of its role of the cameo queen, and Furret gets to do something for once. In the movie, the Celebi movie, it led the twerps through the forest for like 5 seconds, but other than that.
I don't even remember that, I know, I'm so sorry, Furret.
It was so fast.
God.
Well, Misty might get LVP. I guess Misty's like on something today, because first she's amazed that computers exist. And now she's like, oh my god, it's a Furret. That's a ground type. Pikachu's fucked.
Misty, what the hell was this? Come on.
I think Misty's like, I'm here in the big city of Silvertown, I guess. And I'm just going to be drinking from my flask off screen that I keep in my little booty shorts. And she does not give a fuck. She's like, oh wow, computer.
Maybe she should have used that fucking computer to look up the fact that Furret is not a ground type because it uses Dig and that's just about it.
We have the battle of Furret versus Pikachu.
Thrilling, I say. Thrilling.
Furret uses double team. All right, I'm going to try and make battles interesting. Okay. Furret uses double team around Pikachu and makes a big circle around it, and Pikachu doesn't know what to do, even though this happens all the time. And then Furret, like, changes its mind and stops doing double team in order to do Swift. So Pikachu's fucked. And then Furret uses Dig, which is why Misty thought it was a ground type, because I guess she was peeking ahead in the script and assumed incorrectly. Furret's, you know, bolting around underground. Pikachu eventually does what Cyndaquil did in that gym battle episode that was my favorite, and grabs onto Furret and goes underground with it, shocks the bejesus out of it, and then Furret pathetically sticks its head out. And Pikachu comes up and gives it, like, a quick attack finisher. And it's like, fuck you, Salvador. Fuck your Furret. It's not a ground type. You are fucking eliminated from the Johto League. We're never going to see you ever again. Goodbye.
Considering the fact that this kid's ace Pokemon, which he says, like, this is my most trusted partner, is a Furret who knows Double Team, Dig, Swift. I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. You are not going very far at all.
No, you are not.
This is pretty pathetic. I'm so sorry.
For Salvador, he has been trying to get those 8 gym badges from the Johto gym leader for the past 7 years. And this is as far as he goes. From the stupid boy who doesn't even know who's fighting who, when, or where.
That was a poor showing for Salvador. I really feel bad for him.
Salvador is eliminated. He goes off to join Satchel somewhere, I guess.
Oh my god, Satchel.
Well, speaking of Satchel, we'll get to him in a second. Because after Fampi beats a Machoke and Cyndaquil beats an Exeggutor, I guess Ash was really giving it to Fampi to allow Fampi to be the deciding factor onto whether or not he gets in the league. That was, I would say, a bad decision. But apparently it worked out. Because Ash is in the top 48, along with Gary and Harrison, and not Satchel.
Not Satchel.
No mention of Satchel.
Satchel, I'm just reminding myself also, the kid with the bad hair that had a Magby. He was the Magby kid.
Yep.
Did he, like, die? Did Satchel die? I think Satchel died.
He fell into one of Furret's holes.
Oh my god. Okay, goodbye,
Satchel. No, the Sneasel got him.
Maybe he got sucked into the unknown dimension.
Possibly.
Yep.
Maybe Larvitar's mother killed him. I don't know. Any number of things could have happened to Satchel.
He got eaten by Entei. Who knows?
He caught a disease.
No, that's from the other kid.
From the Entei and
who's died. The other kid? Nelson. Sorry.
With the glasses.
Okay. So Salvador, whatever his name is, slinks off into the distance crying as he goes.
Meanwhile, Ash, the chosen one, is approached directly by Mr. Goodshow. And is told, instead of having to read from a book, he is told that the 48 people are going to be grouped into groups of 3. And from then, from those pods of 3 people, 16 of them are going to be progressing into the bracketed tournament.
Okay, so they take the 48 in the semifinals and go to 16 in the finals.
Yes, but all this math is making Ash restless, so he can't sleep that night. So he and Pikachu get up and leave their enormous suite. Which they still have to share bunk beds with Misty and Brock in this huge-ass area, but whatever. They get up.
You know what? It's a problem with the architecture because half of the room is a fucking empty living room space. And
true.
And they slam some little bunk beds up against the wall.
It's an Olympics athletes area, so I guess it's for, like, the orgies.
Maybe. Orgies that you have in the floor? Okay.
Yeah. So, Ash, speaking of orgies, Ash finds Gary outside. And
oh, my God.
And Gary, he's having a moment. He is having quite the moment. He is sitting there looking at the full moon, reflecting on his life and his choices and his future and his past. And he says, Ash, look at that full moon. Do you remember the full moon on the first night of our journey? Ash does not remember the full moon because he was busy blowing up the Viridian City Pokemon Center.
Alright.
As he was being assaulted by Jesse, James, and Meow with Pikachu chaos. Strapped to a bike. That he also destroyed. Because he got struck by lightning the same day.
Oh yeah, in case you forgot about that adventure.
What a crazy ass day that was. The Pikachu.
The Spearows.
The Disobedience. The Thunderbolt. The Ho-Oh. Misty. Bike. Officer Jenny drove her motorcycle into the lobby.
Oh my god. Now I'm feeling like Gary. I'm feeling so wistful for those early episodes. Guys.
Because remember, this is the last stretch of episodes of the original Pokemon anime series.
This is so... Okay, stop. Now I'm feeling sad. Nostalgic. Ugh.
Okay. You are very easily nostalgic, but I am not. But Gary is.
I'm so sentimental.
I'm the Ash and you're the Gary.
I know. I love how Gary is like having his existential moment where he's like, any of our minor choices in our life could have made things end up like wildly differently. Like, could you imagine if you hadn't picked Pikachu or you hadn't have been late or you hadn't have done this or you did do this or whatever? Your path could have been completely different than what it was. And he's having this moment where he's thinking of life. He's thinking of, like you said, his future, his path, all this stuff. And Ash is like, I don't care about that. I just want to win.
Yeah, cut to Ash where you can hear the wind echoing from one ear in and out the other because there's nothing between them.
The cavernous hole in between his ears.
Oh, man.
Ash doesn't know what it's like to have, like, what would you call that? I wouldn't even call it, like, Like, what is that feeling of that like...
introspection?
Introspection.
Melancholy?
Yes. Thank you. He doesn't know what it's like to be melancholy because nothing bad ever happens to him.
Yeah, Gary is having a crisis. And Gary doesn't have friends, so he has no one to talk to this about with.
No. Okay, I think you're being really hard on Gary. I think he's being human. Unlike the robot who is Ash Ketchum.
Ash isn't even like a robot. He's like a fucking rock. Remember that time he was literally a rock when you killed him?
Oh, right. He's literally like a construct. I don't even know what Ash is, but he's not like of this earth.
Well, Gary is. And let's be real. Gary is foreshadowing what's going to happen in the future next few episodes.
Oh my god, does somebody die?
Yes, Gary's gonna die.
Oh my god!
Gary is considering possibilities for the future. So clearly he is not happy. Gary is considering his choices in his future, in his life. He's not happy with where he's at.
Yeah, like a normal person does. He's stopping to think about the trajectory he's on and where he wants to go and what he wants to do with his limited time on Earth, because as we know, Gary, again, is a human person that has a finite time, unlike Ash, who is immortal and just can fuck around forever.
But Gary doesn't know he's part of Ash's protective time pause phenomenon, so he's never going to age either.
But see, okay, here's the thing I think is what's happening here. Gary leaves Ash's sphere of influence every now and then. So he gets outside of that la-la fantasy world. And this is when he has his, like, introspective moments and his actual, like, mortality, feeling the weight of that mortality on his shoulders. But then he gets back into Ash's proximity, close enough to where he's in the protective bubble. So he doesn't actually age, but he still feels that crushing weight of the finite time.
Okay, what if he does age, and then when he comes within, like, 5 oh my God, square he feet reverts. Of Ash, he ages?
And he doesn't know that he does? Oh my God.
Because we gotta maintain continuity.
God, what a fucking nightmare. Could you imagine?
Oh my God, that's awesome. Okay, so, alright. Ash, meanwhile, he's happy with his life. He's living the fucking dream. He has friends who coddle him. He has Pokemon that are loyal to him. He gets to risk life and death every single day and never have any real negative consequences whatsoever. He's just happy as a clam. So he doesn't have any introspective moments.
Ash is like, introspection? What is that?
Is that a new kind of Pokemon?
Okay, maybe. Okay, I want to be spoiled in this one thing, just in the next few episodes. I don't know if you remember specifically, but does Ash contact Delia? Does he call his mom?
I could not tell you because I don't remember, but I know Ash, and the answer is no, he does not.
See, he doesn't have a shred of human empathy. It's horrific.
Why are we even bringing her up? What?
Because we were talking about having introspection and whatever, and you were just talking about Ash, like, living the high life and doing his own fucking thing. Does not care about anybody who, like, is close to him or his family. God forbid he, like, connect with them and be like, hey, mom, oh my God, I made it here to the Silver Conference. He doesn't give a shit. He's nope. So wrapped up in himself.
He doesn't even call Oak.
Yeah, his surrogate father.
Speaking of them, the day after Gary's, you know, introspection, Oak is watching television as he's, like, sorting books. They always seem to be sorting books over there at the Oak Lab. I guess they're, like, building a library of resources of some kind.
I mean, he is a professor. He's got research subjects.
They're always shuffling books around. Anyway, and Oak is like, Tracy, come here. The TV's on. The ceremony's beginning. Tracy walks on screen and doesn't say a word.
Because they didn't contract his voice actor for that day.
Clearly not, even though in the American version, yes, they did, because Tracy is the announcer for the Pokemon League.
Oh, that's right. He's the same guy. Oh, my God. Why didn't he give him a voice line? What the hell?
Because clearly they didn't have him in the studio that day in Japan.
Ah.
So Tracy makes a voiceless cameo, which is going to continue. I'll say that.
I mean, but let me ask this. You don't see his face. You just see the back of his head.
Okay.
No, you don't see his face or any lip movement or anything like that. You see the back of his head. Why couldn't the American version have him, like, say something kind of, like, disembodied or whatever?
Like, boy!
Yeah, or something, because I know it's a short scene when Oak says, like, come and see, and it kind of cuts away pretty quick, but Tracy could be like, I'm coming, or, oh, wow, or, yeah, or something small.
I'm right here, Professor!
You could literally crank something out in, like, a second, but whatever.
Well, we are not at the running gag of Tracy either appearing on screen and not getting to say anything, or someone saying, and Tracy's just off screen, but that's going to happen in later years. Do you remember that at all?
Not really.
There was multiple instances where Ash would come home and then Oak would be like, and Tracy's not home. And Ash would be like, he's never home.
That's because they killed him.
Well, he's still alive for now. Tracy's still with us. And Delia and Mimi are also watching the ceremony from their house. Ash is in line, and as he is, he has possibly one of his stupidest moments of all time, where Jesse and James come up to him in suits and fake mustaches, and they say, excuse me, boy, have you gotten your Pokemon footprints taken yet? And Ash is like, no. And they're like, well, you won't be able to be in the league if you don't do it. And Ash is like, oh no, I gotta get my Pokemon footprints taken. Smash cut, Ash is hogtied in a rope and thrown to the ground in a closet somewhere.
You know, Austin, this just goes back to the point we were making earlier about the fact that Ash has been coddled this entire time, is not involved in his own Pokemon conference registration, and relies on Brock or whoever else to take care of it for him. So if Ash had just, I don't know, paid any fraction of attention, he would have known you don't have to take a fucking Pokemon footprint.
Idiot. Well, Gary's not stupid, because Gary sees all this go down, and he knows exactly what's happening. So Gary goes and finds Ash tied up in the closet, unties him, presumably, and they go and chase after Team Rocket, who are absconding with Pikachu, and on their way out of the building, they find the Torch Runner, knock into him, and knock him to the ground. And Ash sees this scene, runs past the man who's on the ground, and goes, Pikachu!
Oh my god. Yeah, I could not care less about this poor man who just was pushed to the ground.
I am 99% sure this is the exact same man who Ash ran up to during the Kanto League, said, I want to be the Torch Runner. And Professor Goodshow was like, okay, you're the Torch Runner now. So this poor guy.
Oh my god. Guys, I completely forgot about the tantrum that Ash pitched during that whole thing. Oh my god. He's been a little bit better this time. This time he wasn't trying to insert himself into official activities, but
no. Well, he does anyway.
He somehow still manages.
I would need to go back to look. I don't know if it was actually the same character design they used for the Torch Runner, but it's funnier if it's the same guy.
That would be hilarious.
Ash and Pikachu blast off Team Rocket, whatever. Gary, meanwhile, the only fucking adult in the room, is tending to the Torch Runner who's sprawled on the ground and says, this guy sprained his ankle. What are we going to do? And then
he's got a concussion.
Gary is the one who comes up with the idea of Ash taking the torch, running onto the field, and lighting the main torch over the stadium battlefield.
Do you think it's because he's in love with Ash, or do you think it's because he didn't want to have Ash pitch another fucking tantrum? So he's like, okay, you know what, buddy, you can just do it.
I think Gary's aware at this point that Ash is the main character. That's true. Ash is the one who actually wants to do this, and I really fucking don't. So he stands back, and he's like supporting the guy with the sprained ankle and the concussion. So Ash gets to be the one to deliver the torch. Not a single fucking person says, who is this boy? They're all just, like, delighted.
The announcer guy kind of is like, there's been an unexpected change, and oh my god, here comes this kid.
Yeah, someone's handing sticky notes to the announcer and, like, giving him, like, play-by-plays.
I don't know how they reported on this, but you're right. They do just take it in stride and go with the flow, which, you know, honestly is a mark of a good MC, because they're not really allowing the confusion to, like, overtake the crowd. You know, they're just kind of being like, oh, yep, here we go. This is our new thing. Now we're doing this. Like, yep. It was pretty seamless.
I don't know why there wasn't a camera crew with the Torch Runner guy.
Yeah, he was like running into the building. Like, he's on one side of the building, I think, and then he's like running through the building to get to the stadium, I guess.
And there's not like a camera crew with him?
Well, they're in like Big Brother world where there's like camera crews everywhere. Because, you know, every time we're in like a race or anything, they somehow have camera angles all over the place. I don't know how they're getting those camera angles.
Not for this guy. No one cares about this guy except for Gary.
No.
Well, Ash lights the torch. I suppose it should be symbolic because it's the Ho-Oh flame and Ash is the Ho-Oh guy, but nothing is stated of that. Nothing comes of it. And now the episode's over. The end. MVP, LVP, end quote.
I really wish they had they did a little cut or transition to like Ho-Oh flying by in the background or something.
Well, you might be happy to see a future episode.
Oh my gosh. I had a premonition just then. Okay.
Alex goes first.
Again. Wowee. My quote is gonna be from Oak, because this isn't really like a good quote necessarily, but I thought it was funny because I'm easily amused. When Ash is running with the torch because he's the special chosen one, and Oak is even surprised. Well, he shouldn't be surprised by this point, but he is. He says, "My stars! Now how did Ash get that torch?"
Okay.
I like that he said, "My stars." I think that's funny.
Oh, my Lamego.
My MVP is going to be, can you guess it? You'll never guess.
Not Gary. I know it's not Gary.
Well, you'd be wrong, Austin. Oh, okay. I can't believe you would get this wrong. It, of course, is Gary, my favorite of all time. Gary, the goat, Gary of all time.
Ah, ooh, is that our episode title?
Oh my God. Oh my God. It should be. Oh my gosh.
We'll figure out how to format that. Okay.
I love it when we just happen to come up with them in the episode. It's just perfect. Gary, because he's the best. I love him. I love his human moment where he is sitting there and wondering about the path that he took to get here and all his accomplishments and his uncertain future. And we just get to see this human side of him. For that reason, I'm going to give my LVP to Ash, who can never understand what it's like to be human.
Oh, do you hear that? Ring, 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 ring. That's the 2000th LVP that Alex has given to Ash.
Austin keeps track of all the MVP and LVPs that we give throughout the season. Is it overwhelmingly Ash?
I don't calculate it till the end, but I just know it's going to be Ash by a
landslide. It's going to be Ash, of course, because he's always fucking up. I will say I do give him MVP sometimes.
Yes, you do.
So it's not always an LVP. And the fact that, you know, not just the fact that he can't understand what it's like to be introspective at all, but that he gets easily taken in by Team Rocket's obvious plot, and the fact that he just stands there and lets a fucking Furret assault Pikachu over and over without doing anything. I'm like, Ash.
Yeah, Furret got like 4 moves in a row.
I know, he kept headbutting Pikachu over and over and over, and I'm like, are we just going to stand here? Are we just going to do nothing? I feel like we can do something, but Pikachu, do something! And that is it.
I guess it's my turn. I don't have an MVP, but I'll start with my LVP, which is Misty. Who, I think Misty's having a good time. I'm glad she's having a good time. My quote, I only have one quote. And this is why I was making all these jokes about Gary and Ash. It's Gary saying, it's numero uno or bust. And then Ash says, then you better prepare for a bust.
Oh, what kind of bust, Ash? Calm down.
My MVP is going to be Salvador's Furret for getting to have one small role ever.
Never see it again.
No, we will not. Oh, honorary LVP to the little girl.
Oh my God, that little brat. Hate her. She deserves it.
Yep, that's it.
All right, and with that, we have arrived, you guys. We are in the thick of it now. The conference, and we will be wrapping up Johto very shortly.
Well, don't get ahead of yourselves. We got some battling to do.
We've gone on this journey for so long, it just feels like it's all happening all at once.
No, it does not. It feels like it's been torturously. It's the world's longest band-aid removal.
It is true. But I'm feeling very much like Gary right now, in that I'm feeling very nostalgic and like, I can't believe it's over. Oh my God.
Well, get ready for the next episodes. We're going to have a returning character. Can you guess who?
Harrison?
Well, yes. But someone else. We'll find out who. They may have a different name, but it's still a returning character.
What? They changed their name?
We'll discuss it next week.
Okay, stay tuned for that mystery.
Love Pokemon style and tie one on. I guess that one episode is about like Misty's drinking. I don't know.
Tie one on? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Well, stay tuned, everyone. I'm sure we will have a lovely time together discussing those episodes. Anything else, Austin? Any other final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Look at that full moon. Doesn't it make you think about all the possibilities of the dreams that we've had and the dreams that we have yet to have? If we had not done this and that, then we would have had a different life now. We wouldn't be in the same place at the same time.
Kind of makes you wonder if we have free will at all, or if everything's just predetermined, or are we truly the masters of our own destiny? I don't know. Questions.
Nope, never mind. I'm going to take the Ash approach. None of it matters. Just fucking go with it. Who cares?
Basically, you're born, you work, you die.
Exactly. All right, join us next week for more uplifting sentiments.
Yes. Words of wisdom from Alex and Austin.
This is why we need Jacob.
I don't know why you keep pulling him into this. We are... It's thrills a minute over here on Out of the Drying Pan, and we have fun. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, please do so. You can always email us. Our email is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. You can also leave comments on any of our platforms like Pokemon Megastar does, which we super appreciate. You can find us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you can leave comments. Please do that. Leave us 5 stars. If you also like what we do, you can support us on Patreon. We have a Patreon, guys. Austin has really cool tiers that you can check out. Notes. Yes, Austin?
Look forward to the Ash and the Sailor fanfiction.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. The Ash and the Sailor fanfiction. You definitely want to join up. And for that alone is worth it, you guys. So take a look over there. We would super appreciate it. The link is in the description. We also have our Blue Sky. I think I forgot to mention that before Patreon. But yeah, Blue Sky. Austin posts funny stuff all the time over on that platform. So follow us. And as we like to say, thank you guys so much for listening. And join us next week as the journey continues.